At the Animal Agriculture Alliance Summit in Arlington, Virginia, we're talking with Crystal McKay, Executive Director of the Ontario Farm Animal Council, Ontario, Canada. And Crystal, your presentation was on cleaning up the bad actors. You talked about the Farm Animal Council in Ontario, which I understand has been in existence for quite a while.
Yes, we were formed about 20 years ago when all the livestock and poultry farmers in our province came together and said, you know what, the average person doesn't understand agriculture. We need to band together. United we stand.
So how's your program structured? I guess you use the phrase farmers helping farmers.
So we started an animal care helpline, which, you know, we call, that's where the farmers helping farmers comes into play, in 1992. And what it is in response to cases where farm animals aren't being cared for to the level they should be. So it's not meant for cruelty or abuse, but management. So our motto is we want to get in there when the animals are a bit thin, not starving to death.
And you mentioned you work with processing plants and sale barns to, as you put it, try to avoid those pictures that might appear on the 6 o'clock news or on YouTube.
For sure. We see, obviously, you know, we have 40,000 farms in Ontario, so to try to have a presence there is difficult. You know, we do work there on a complaint basis, but we, obviously all the animals eventually come through either a sales barn or end up at a processing plant, so it's a really good critical control point for animal care that if there's a problem out on the farm, it is going to show up at one of those two spots. So dedicating some staff time and resources to educating either the trucker or back to the farm if it's deemed necessary.
Obviously, you've got some costs associated with running a program like this. Is it entirely funded by the industry then?
Yes. The farm groups, so the farm commodity groups, are our main source of funding. And the one staff position that we had that was working at processing plants and sales barn, we did get some government grant money to help with that.
And you do PR work as well on behalf of agriculture?
Yeah, we say we have a big strategy, but it boils down to working with industry to do the right thing and then telling people about it. So actually about 80% of our resources now are directed to the proactive, positive efforts of getting agriculture's message to the public.
Of course, in this country, as you're aware, some states have gone the route of setting up livestock care standards boards. Some other states, some livestock groups are not comfortable with that idea, and in fact maybe looking at a program like yours. So have you been able to avoid having more government oversight of what you do?
We have. We actually just had a new Animal Health Act passed in Ontario last year in 2009, and it was considered to have animal welfare as part of that act. And it does have animal welfare at sales barns, in transit, and at processing plants as part of the act. But the farm side of things was left out of the act, and that was our members' preferred way as well, saying, you know what, we have a recommended code of practice, we have on-farm animal care assessments, we have the helpline for bad actors, and then we do have the SPCA legislation for cruelty cases. So we felt adding more legislation would not really help advance animal care.
So when we talk about cleaning up the bad actors, do you feel like you've been successful? Are the number of cases, situations that you have to deal with, are they decreasing?
Definitely. We had some, you know, some measurements in terms of the number of hogs going to market, because all the pigs marketed in Ontario are sent through one central marketing agency. So we've got some hard numbers there to show a definite improvement. And, you know, agriculture is a small world, so you only have to send a few pointed letters or have a visit back to a couple of farms and word gets out on the street, you know, to say that, you know what, that's just not acceptable. And those little questionable animals that the farmer's thinking about putting on the end of the truck, they'll probably say no.
You talked about some of the reasons why we have situations like this, and every case, I'm sure, is just a little bit different, but talk about some of those reasons.
I think we know that animal care issues are directly people issues, really, and it comes down to the people that you're dealing with, and people have different motivations for what they do or don't do. So, you know, you have some people that just genuinely don't know any better, that's what they think is the normal standards of care. You've got people in stressful situations like divorce or older people that are no longer able to care for animals the way they used to, and those situations are very sad. But then you also have people that would rather not deal with the animal, so we call them avoiders or procrastinators, just saying, you know what, I'll just put it on the truck. I don't have to put it down myself. And then, of course, you sometimes have to deal with jerks. This is people that animal care is not their concern, and they have other motivations.
And, of course, in some cases, margins are tight in livestock production. Some people just want to make that few extra dollars.
You're right. And, you know, we say, we on some of these animal care issues, we have a little saying that's called follow the dollar. And so we don't want to financially incent people to do the wrong thing. So having programs in place and, you know, to educate dairy farmers, for example, on culling their cows early. So identifying her instead of waiting till the end of her lactation, which would have been the normal time to cull cows, to say, you know what, identify her early. You'll actually make more money on the cow when she's in better body condition score than you will if you wait till the last, you know, the last dog days. So that message seems to be getting out there, and it, you appeal to different people with different messaging. You know, it's good for the cow, it's good for the for you and your farm, it's good for the industry's image, and it can be good for your wallet.
So any advice for states in the U.S. that are wrestling with this issue and kind of which direction to go?
I would say do something. You know that these animals are out there and these people are out there. You know, we call them the laggards at the end of the spectrum, and you want to be part of the solution. Identify those problems and figure out the best approach. Get the right people in place. It's very important that you have the right people that are credible, that can deal with some of these bad actors very directly, and not in a government or a bureaucratic approach, but a really direct one-on-one basis. And I guess my best advice would be to just do it.